shit.
Getting good with the good. If you grew up in a household where chaos was the norm, where love was inconsistent, where joy was fleeting, where calmness meant the calm before the storm, then your nervous system likely learned something that doesn't make a lot of logical sense. Safety doesn't feel safe. Good doesn't feel good. Joy doesn't feel trustworthy. In fact, good might feel downright threatening. When your developing brain and nervous system were shaped in an unpredictable, emotionally unsafe environment, you may have learned to brace for impact always. You learned that peace could turn into panic at any moment, that love could disappear, that the other shoe was always about to drop. And so even now, as an adult, it can feel dangerous to exhale, to enjoy, to receive. It's not dysfunction, that's a survival response. So when things start going well in your life, it's common to feel a strange unease, a quiet dread, or even a compulsion to make something go wrong. Because chaos, at least, is familiar. It makes sense in your body. But goodness, that's unfamiliar. And unfamiliar feels unsafe. Here are some of the ways this shows up. You feel uneasy when things are going well. You keep waiting for it to all fall apart or assume it must be too good to be true. You try to sabotage or poke holes in healthy relationships. You become hypercritical or pull away or convince yourself they'll leave you anyways. You feel uncomfortable in moments of joy, peace, or lightness, as if you're doing something wrong, as if it can't possibly last. You downplay your progress. You don't acknowledge your growth, your wins, or the moments where you've truly broken a cycle because doing so feels either selfish or fake. You pre-grieve what you haven't even lost. You fixate on every worst-case scenario to try to emotionally prepare yourself. You overfunction or stay busy during good times. Resting in the goodness feels intolerable, so you find a new fire to put out. But here's the truth. Goodness doesn't mean something bad is coming. Goodness doesn't mean you're missing something. Goodness is not a trap. Your body just doesn't know that yet. This work, our work, is not about surviving the hard. It's about learning to tolerate the good, to teach our nervous system that joy is safe, that stability isn't suspicious, that we don't need to sabotage love in order to protect ourselves from losing it. Letting good things in is vulnerable, but it's also where the real healing begins. First, I just want to share off topic because this just happened. I had to drive by my parents' house on my way to get my hair done. My hairstylist just moved location. So I had to drive by my parents' house on my way there. And as I've shared, I feel like for the most part, I'm very just dissociated, numb, checked out to the current status of our relationship. And just driving by, it just really hit me, you know, it just really hit me. I can't remember who shared it in the chat, but just like there's just a real unique kind of pain that comes with having your parents be so disinterested in your life. You know, like there's just a real unique pain to that. There's a real grief to, and so I know so many of us can relate to this. There's a whole new level of pain that comes when a parent would rather lose a relationship with their child than admit that they hurt you or like have to take a look at themselves. So yeah, I'm just like feeling like the sadness and the grief there. So I just wanted to speak to that because I know that a lot of y'all can relate to that. But this is a perfect topic that when I posted suggestions, Teresa sent me a text suggesting like dealing with moments of healing or growth. And this fits in line with exactly what I was talking about with my therapist today, which is, man, I am just trying to find anything wrong with a perfectly wonderful, emotionally available man. And it's really, really interesting to observe, to watch these parts that I have, that there's a real polarity going on where I have parts of me that so desperately desire to be in a relationship. And clearly, and it's like, I'm so unconscious to this, like, clearly there's other parts of me that are like scared to fucking death. And if you weren't here on Sunday, I shared about how he hadn't listened to any of my podcast. And it's been like a month now that we've been talking, and he's coming to visit in 2 weeks. And I sent him a text basically like saying, hey, I think I'd like for you to listen to like my very first podcast episode. And I didn't get a response back that I was like hoping for, but it was totally like my expectations, and he didn't mean anything by it. And then I was able to express to him like, hey, I know it wasn't your intention, but like, this wasn't the response that I was like, that I was hoping to get. And then just like this really amazing, emotionally mature, like non-defensive response back from him. When I like read it to my therapist, she's like, oh my God, he's amazing. Do you know, like, I deal with people all day long. Men can't do this. Men can't say this. And then after I got off the meeting, he called me, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? And he was like, oh, I've just been spending the last 4 hours with you. And I was like, 4 hours. And, I just wanted him to listen to the very first podcast episode. I didn't want him to listen to the first 7 episodes of my podcast. And it's like, oh, wow, there it is. There's all of my shit like laid out that he's listened to. There's all of my horrible relationship history that he's listened to. There's all of how I react when a guy doesn't text me back, like all of the things, like the most vulnerable parts of me. And he hasn't run away, you know? And also to have somebody actually be interested in me, like, whereas I have parents who have zero interest in me. So it's just been really interesting, like, to observe and to feel seen. And it's like, I have to reassure these parts, I'm worthy and deserving of being in a healthy relationship. And I'm worthy and deserving of being with somebody who is emotionally available and who is interested in me. So yeah, that's where I'm at for now.
So this topic about things being good, I'm waiting for things to stay good. Seems like I get like a few moments of something good and then bam, get hit with something else. This weekend is my daughter's birthday party. She just turned 12 yesterday. And I don't know, I'm pretty sure I shared in the Thursday group, but maybe it was a different one. July 25th was my mother's birthday, and I did what I always do and wrote a message. Happy birthday. Love you. Hope you have a great day. Even though she hasn't spoken to me in months, but I did it and got no response, which I kind of figured would happen. But then my younger sister told me that my mother said, yeah, Courtney tried to reach out to me on my birthday, but I don't hear from her any other time. So she might as well not even bother on the holidays. And I was like, that's cool. Thanks. So with my daughter's birthday being this week, I was prepared for, you know, nothing to come from my family. Luckily, with my dad being here, that's kind of softened it a little. Like, we brought my daughter out yesterday shopping and did like the birthday dinner with her. But her party being Saturday is like, I'm not looking forward to it because I know that people aren't going to come from my family. Like, I went on Facebook and created the event, invited all the people, and I got a response from 2 people, my sister and my uncle. And my brother and my parents are literally walking distance to the party. It's around the corner from their house. But my mother's such a spiteful person that because she's angry with me for who the hell knows, now it's being taken out on my daughter. And this is just adding to the anger that I can't seem to sort through with my mother. Like, I just don't understand how she could be so mean and nasty to people she supposedly loves. Like, I'm used to it. It's the normal for me. So like, I can crack the jokes about it and be like, wow, what a shocker. Saw that coming. Like, you know, I'm like you said, Andrea, like just, you know, disassociated with it. Like I'm just numb to it. But when it's coming to affect my kids, man, I just want to fucking lose it. Like when my father blew me off the other day and my son asked, when's Papa coming? This is the shit that I can't handle, because like it's hard enough for me to deal with it hurting me and affecting me. But when innocent children are being, you know, it's her fucking 12th birthday. Like, as her grandmother and her grandfather and her uncle, you don't think that it's not right that you don't come to her party? I mean, you don't even need to speak to me. We don't have to communicate. If that's how you want to play this, I'm fine with that. But like, my daughter already lost so many grandparents already, and she's 12. So you guys are like the remaining grandparents, and you just nothing. Like, I told my husband the other day, like, I have so many family members and I feel like a fucking orphan, because nobody ever like puts us first. Like, I have my own family now, and I look at it, I just don't freaking understand it. I don't get it. I don't think I ever will. As much as I can like do this work and empathize and realize, you know, that both my parents are adult children and they have their own struggles, I can understand all of it. But I can't understand the cruelty, the just being nasty to be nasty. Like, oh, it infuriates me, because I can't imagine. I beat myself up for little things that I say to my kids. You know, when I make a comment to my daughter and she gives me like the eye, like, did you just say that to me? I'm like, oh no, what did I say? I said it wrong. Like, oh shit, I'm trying so hard to not do anything. But like, and then I think about my mom when my mom found out I had sex, she called me a whore for 2 weeks. Like, she didn't use my name. I was whore at 15. Like, I just don't understand how parents can be so mean and nasty to their own children and then say, I love you. Here, I'll leave you with this. My sister told me that my mother said, you know, Courtney's my daughter and I love her very much. I just don't like her.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It just sort of seems like after getting to a certain point in therapy and in being here and in doing some of the hard work, I think there's sort of two things. One is to be a little selfish, and two is to be a little feral in the context of some of these things, because for decades, it was always putting somebody else's needs before your own. And it was always, you know, basic survival sorts of things rather than doing the kinds of things that you wanted to do that were just entirely for peace and for joy, or just for the hell of it. And it just sort of seems like in the context of downplaying your own needs, downplaying your own accomplishments, downplaying everything, it's kind of like no matter what you did, you'd never get recognized by someone for the accomplishment that you did, because your parent was too messed up with their own shit that they couldn't pay any attention to you or anything that you were working on. But, it's just sort of a funny thing that yet throughout all of this, the overfunctioning and the no rest part really showed up in weird and mysterious ways. In one hand, it was you became super capable and you could do lots of things, but you didn't know how to have fun. And I think this year was probably the first year in 40 some years that I was actually able to truly completely relax and be content with doing nothing. And it's been all that doing nothing could be. And I'm just happy that that is currently the sort of state of affairs. But it's just that gaining comfortable or being comfortable in those moments of just being content. It's just a remarkable place to be. And I don't think 2 years ago or 3 years ago, especially in the month of August, that I would be saying something like that. So I appreciate having a few minutes to share, and great topic tonight. Thanks.
This is a great topic, Nate. Like you said, for me, I sabotage myself every single day. I sabotage every decision I make. Every time we go out to dinner, go on vacation, go do an activity, 80% of the time, 90% of the time, I want to stop going to go do that activity. I sabotage myself because I always think I'm not good enough to go on this adventure or do whatever we're doing. I have this compulsion to make something go wrong. I like that chaos. So when it's in the last few years, I'm just constantly trying to, do this meditation and be mindfulness, right? And be calm and whatnot, and trying to silence those voices in my head. And that was our parents, right? And brother and whatnot, our siblings. And but I do downplay my progress. I downplay everything I've done, all my achievements. I do stay busy, right? I haven't grieved for what I've lost or what I've never known. And what I haven't known is what a lot of people in here have said also, is they don't know what love is. I don't know what that true love is, in a way. I know that people love me. I know my wife loves me. I know my in-laws and my close family loves me, and my inner circle of friends, and people in this group too. And on the ship, people do care and love me. But it's that goodness that I can't accept, because I feel like it's that there's something that's going to be attached to that goodness, and that goodness is for me is unfamiliar. I do feel good a lot of times. All the time, I do feel good. But what I'm working at is what I feel deep down in at a soul level a lot of times, and trying to reach that. And that soul level is trying to reach that inner child, and that's where I've really worked at to find that goodness is that the goodness is not that trap, right? And that that this is not that something's not hanging over me, right? Or if I do have goodness, that where's that badness going to come? When's that shoe other shoe going to drop? And it hasn't dropped in a while, but I do sabotage myself on a daily basis. So it's another great topic.
Well, it's a lot of share for me. So sometimes I actually overdo it, and that's how I do sabotage myself. So I really hope that tomorrow morning I will not get up with like the social hangover and overthink all of this. And I was like, nope, fuck it. I will never show my face there again. So,
We're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow that. I'll be at
because
your
a lot of
door.
like sometimes that's exactly how like I notice. Like once you notice, you can't unsee all those things. It is bizarre. But it is also a bit weird that you bring this up because I literally, like, before I sign up for this class, I was, it goes in the back of your mind and it just keeps going and going. It's like there is something bugs me because I was like, everybody's talking in a lot of spaces how we stop ourselves, like we are afraid to fail. And I was like, I am not afraid to fail. Like, I fail every day. Like, I have no problem with that whatsoever. It was like, I get up in the morning and I already failed. Like, whatever. Not failing, I don't think I can do that. And I did not realize that until maybe like la in the end of last year, beginning of this year, after the hurricanes in Florida, for the first time we had a roof damage and I had to do this complicated adulting stuff and apply for the loan. And I did it all by myself with no help from anybody. And it turned out so much better than what I was hoping for. And when I got the email from SBA and I opened it up, I worked so hard and I saw how good it is. I felt like crap. And I started crying like, this is horrible. And I don't know, like, I was like, this is the most bizarre reaction to anything. And then I realized, like, I did not have a role to either fail or be good in my family. My sister was the poor thing. She was the perfect one. My brother is the one who had all the troubles and we had to fix all his. And I couldn't do either because if I would either fail or do too good, then I mean, that was the worst thing. Like, I just had to be there and not do anything. So, and if I did something, then it's either was taken away or they would make my brother beat the crap out of me. And I completely forgot about it until I actually did something for myself, by myself. And it was weird. So, like, it's a strange feeling. It's very strange to hear people say pretty much the same thing. So I think that was my point, and there might have been something else to add, but right now I am freaking out a bit, so I'm gonna
You
mute
didn't
myself
say
for a
too
bit.
much. You're not too much. Did
Okay.
we
I
everybody
don't.
nodding their head. We get it. You're in the right place.
Hey, y'all. Great to be participating in my own recovery. Say that too. So next week when I'm hosting, y'all need to sh share as well. Yeah, this is really hard to allow yourself to let good things happen. And if you guys watch on Hulu, The Bear, I love it. It's a cooking show in Chicago. It's so good. I fucking love it. But anyways, his like girlfriend's talking to him, and he's like talking about like waiting for the other shoe to fall, and she's like, "Here's the secret. No one's keeping track of shoes." And like, I loved that moment so much. And it speaks to me of that my whole life, I needed to do that. I needed to be hyper vigilant at all times to make sure that everything was going to be okay. Because if I could just keep everything together, if I could just hold on tight enough, like everything will be okay. If I can just keep the waves down, I will be okay. Like everything will be okay. If I can just do that. And it never worked, and I kept trying harder and harder, and that's the insanity of like addiction, of like continuing to try something that doesn't work. And it's really beautiful today to be able to allow good things to happen and to realize that like being sober in whatever capacity you choose to be sober in, for me it's like drugs and alcohol, sex and love with my adult child stuff, all of it put together lets me have better choices. Lets me choose different things, and it's not easy all the time. In fact, it's still really hard, and I get to see my recovery in like third person as I watch myself. When stuff comes up, I'll be able to like realize that like we have like date night with my boyfriend on Wednesday nights, and it's been really good and it's been really fun. And all of a sudden dinner, like I look over and I see like a picture of his dog and his ex on his phone. And so my brain all of a sudden is like, wait, does he secretly want to get back with his ex? And I'm like, what does the evidence say? The evidence said that's just a picture of his dog. The other person doesn't matter. Everything other than that is telling you that like is in a happy relationship. And I had to fight my brain. And sometimes it's a losing battle to fight our brain. And sometimes it's like we need to bring that up. But I thought in the moment, I'm like, this is a great opportunity for me to choose to not let this bother me, to not let it eat at me, to release it to my higher power, to be like, I am not going to poke holes in this. I am not going to sit here and try and self-sabotage. Like, I don't have to do that shit anymore. Like, I don't do it perfectly. And like all the time, I'm still really sucky at it, but I get to choose. Not every time, but more so, I get to choose to be like authentic. I get to be myself. I get to be human. I get to be flawed, but I also get to not do that dumb shit that I used to do. Like, I can let go of the trauma. And we talk about in this meeting all the time. Like, if you're new here, like, we heal relational trauma in positive, healthy relationships. And so, getting to do that has been really beneficial to know that I've got this space to come to. That like when stuff goes bad or is difficult or is hard, I'm glad that we're only 4 months into this relationship. Like when stuff goes like off the rails, whatever, he shouldn't be the first person I go to. The people I go to are my community, is my sponsor, is my therapist, and I've been doing that. And then when the time is right to come to him, I'm able to come to him. But that's down the road, and I always want to jump ahead and be like, many years into the relationship. Now, like, I don't want to have to wait for that. I'd like it to be right now. But that's not the way it works. And realizing that, like, you don't know people until like a year or two or three or five or 10, like, and that's okay. An old me would want to like sink my claws in and be like, no, I'm gonna make this fucking work no matter what. And it's like, I can't, I am not in control of this. This is going great. I get to enjoy it, I get to like it, I get to be present in it, and that's really fun. It's really great, it's beautiful. But I'm not in control of it. I'm not in charge of the outcome of it. And like recovery teaches me that. Like the 12 steps teach me that. And I get to listen to it sometimes. Sometimes I can say, fuck it and do what I want. And then I watch as it crashes and burns. But I don't have to do that every time. And it's really beautiful and it's really nice. And I was just thinking to myself the other day, like, I'm gonna be 35 on my next birthday, and I'm really excited to be the man that I've always wanted to be when I was 35. Like, I don't know what about 35 was, but like my whole life I wanted to be 35, and now I'm gonna be 35, and like I'm gonna be 6 years sober, like in a healthy relationship. I have a relationship with my family again that was really hard and I fought really, really hard tooth and nail for, but I was able to change. I was able to heal and not let this shit drag me down, because we don't have to go down with the ship. Like, we're able to like save ourselves. And we save ourselves by helping others. And so I'm really glad that each and every one of you is here tonight. I told you today you are loved, you are valuable, you're accepted, and you fucking belong here. So thanks, friends. Love you much.